Well, let's get this morning to your program of reading and singing our way through the Incarnation. I have several people who I want to read portions of Scripture for me in a moment, but before we ask anyone to come up, I want to take you through a few verses, first of all, from Genesis, because when we think about the Incarnation begins, the narrative begins in Genesis chapter 3 and the verse 15, where God, having made all things in 6 days and all very good, but of course the fall came, didn't it? The fall came. In Genesis chapter 3, just read with me on the verse number 1. And I suppose like last Lord's Day evening, our incarnation theme begins with the serpent, the old dragon of Christmas, you just call him. Genesis 3 verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the fields which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. There's the old devil attacking and seeking to deceive Eve. Way back in the garden. Move down to verse 6. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and the tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And that one moment was the head of all humanity. I mean, Adam and Eve, our representative head. They were sinning against God, and the moment they did so, they brought the curse upon all humanity. That's why on Christmas Day, you will sit at home, and there'll be loved ones who aren't there. That's why there'll be sickness, sorrow. That's why there's problems. We'll move on down then to verse 15. The curse has entered the world. Sin has arrived. And here's the Lord's response, verse 15. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. And what that means is God would send a Savior from the womb of the woman. Do you see that? The woman's seed. That's the child. And it was made very clear that God would send the child to be the Savior. The one who would undo what the curse had done. And that is Christ. And the rest of the Bible, from here to the end, is all about what? What's the book of Revelation about? The revelation of Jesus Christ. Let's take a moment to pray together. And just seek the Lord this morning as we commence our time of worship. Our Heavenly Father, as we commence our observation of biblical truth concerning the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, on the eve of what is traditionally described as Christmas Day, and Lord, it is a great thrill to come to this truth. Heavenly Father, life is filled with sorrow and sickness and circumstances that are difficult and problematic. But Lord, when we come to look at Thee, Thou art altogether lovely. We find, Lord, that we have a joy in setting all things to the side to observe the One who is good to our soul, observing the One who loved us enough, who cared for us enough to come to this world, becoming a man to live and die for our redemption. Oh Lord, we're glad today for the Savior Jesus Christ. And Heavenly Father, we pray you would bless your word. Do a good work today. Lord, sanctify, save, encourage, and help us to get our focus where it ought always to be, every day of the year, on Christ, the only hope. Lord, it's a joy today to bow before the Word of God. Give us help now as we read and sing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Continue to read with me, please, by turning to the chapter 16 of the book of Leviticus. Because just read about the problem that had arisen and the person who was promised to deal with the problem, namely the seed of the woman, Jesus Christ. But turn with me to Leviticus chapter 16. And here we read very clearly a little snippet of what Christ, the seed, would come to do. Leviticus 16, read with me from the verse 15. Then shall he kill the goat. Kill the goat of the sin offering. There would be an animal that would die for the sin of somebody else. That is for the people. And bring his blood within the veil, and do with that blood as he did with the blood of the bullock, and sprinkle it upon the mercy seat, and before the mercy seat. And he shall make an atonement for the holy place, because of the uncleanness of the children of Israel, and because of their transgressions in all their sin. Do you see what's been taught here? That there would be someone, in this case it was an animal depicting a person, who would literally shed his blood. Why? Because of the uncleanness, because of the transgression, and because of the sins of the people. I was teaching them, someday a babe would be born. His purpose would be to die for the sins of the lost, that they might be truly saved. Now keep on progressing with me in the Word of God, and go with me in the book of Isaiah. There's a few one verses that I want to read before we get anybody else up. But Isaiah chapter 7 and the verse 14. And here now the promise is becoming more and more clear. Isaiah 7, 14. Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive. Here's the son, here's the seed. But this was new. A virgin who knew no man shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name God with us, Emmanuel. Now that was astounding, but that was what God inspired Isaiah to write. Go with me to chapter 11, please, of Isaiah. Isaiah 11 and the verse number 1. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and the branch shall grow out of his roots. Now, what does that mean? That's your family tree. Literally, Christ's family tree. The Lord said there shall be a virgin who will bring forth a son. Now, who will that virgin be? She will be from the family of Jesse. Now, who was Jesse in the Bible? Who was the man who slew Goliath? David. Who was David's father? Jesse. The family of Jesse, the family of David. And so from David would eventually come the Messiah. And so we're told that although we have a problem of sin, a person would come and that person would die for the transgressions and sins of people. He will be born to a virgin. He will be born to the house and the family of David. Move on to chapter 31 of Jeremiah. Jeremiah 31. And we'll read together, just the verse 15. Jeremiah 31, verse 15. Thus saith the Lord, a voice was heard in Ramah, lamentation and bitter weeping, Rahel, or Rachel, weeping for her children, refused to be comforted for her children because they were not. And that's a prophecy. That's saying that when the Messiah comes, when he's born of the Virgin Mary from the family of David, there will be weeping for many other boys and girls will be slain. And what happened when Jesus Christ was born? Herod pronounced that every child under a particular age should be slain and there would be weeping. Rachel, another name for Israel, would weep for her children. That's what happened when Christ was born. Turn with me to the book of Daniel. And you can see we're getting nearer and nearer the New Testament here. Daniel chapter 9 and the verse 25. It says here, know therefore that understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah, That's a name given now to this seed. The Messiah, the Prince, shall be 7 weeks as a time period, and there's and 62 weeks, and so on. Verse 26, and after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the Prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. And so that's telling us that the Messiah will come, that it's coming, it's getting closer. And when he comes, he will die, but not for himself, the sins of others. Don't we know that? Now go with me then, the New Testament. And I'm skipping an awful, I can assure you, I am skipping an abundance of prophecies here. I'm literally picking a handful out of them. But turn with me now to the Gospel of John. We'll just go there. John's Gospel, chapter 1, and the verse 1. John 1. What does the verse 1 say? In the beginning, we saw this last Lord's Day morning. In the beginning was the Word, capital W. And the Word describes God here, as the verse makes clear. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Then go to verse 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. From Adam and Eve in Genesis chapter 3, right through Leviticus and Isaiah and Daniel, those verses that we read, here is the problem solver, the person of Jesus Christ, born of the Virgin Mary. This is God himself, who was always in existence, who came to take upon himself the form of a man for our salvation. That brings us then this morning to our first hymn. I want you to stand together with me and we'll sing hymn 86 together, which captures what we have just considered together. The hymn 86, you'll find it at page 210. And it says here, ere the blue heavens were stretched abroad, from everlasting was the Word. With God he was, the Word was God, and must divinely be adored. And yet, this is the one who came to save our sins by becoming a man. Look at verse 4. But lo, he leaves those heavenly forms. The Word descends and dwells in clay, that he may hold converse with worms, dressed in such feeble flesh as they. It's not a hymn we sing very often, but certainly a tremendous truth included here. Let's sing verses 1, 2, 4, and 5. 1, 2, 4, and 5.
in there. I'm going to ask our brother now, Ken Simpson, just to come and to read the first scripture reading, please, this morning. Thank you, Brother Ken.
Reading is taken from the book of St. Luke, chapter 1, beginning at verse 26. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art most highly favoured. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou. And when she saw him, she was troubled at the saying, and cast in her mind, what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favour with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then Mary said unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered, and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called Son of God.
Amen. Thank you, Mr. Samson. And what a scene this was, men and women, for Mary, a young woman, to be carrying about her regular business and to be greeted with such a greeting. Look at verse 28 here. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored. Highly favored. And I say, it's true of every believer. True of every child of God. Highly favored. Because the idea here is of a woman who's had the attention of God. Now, if you look at the margin there, it gives the idea of graciously accepted or much graced. And that's what it is to be a child of God. But look what else the angel said. Thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Praise God. True of every believer. But now there's a little exception now at the end of verse 28. Well, the angel says, Blessed art thou above women. Now, I hope you're reading that. Did I read that correctly? Read it again. End of verse 28. Blessed art thou above women. Is that what it says? No. No. He's blessed among women. And when you're among people, it means you're like them. You're on the same level, the same plane. You're a sinner, Mary. You're worthy of hell, like Eve was, like every other human being. But God has favored you and blessed you. You're blessed among women. But out of all women, you have this particular blessing that you would bear the child, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Now, she was obviously bewildered at this. And so the angel said to her in verse 30, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. Don't be afraid, Mary.
Don't be afraid. Praise God. You have the great privilege and joy of coming to see Christ, the one who is the to the world. And so as they continue to converse, the angel makes this great declaration. He shall be great. And that's true of Christ, wasn't it? He's the highest. Verse 32, the end, it says his throne will have no end, an eternal throne. That's only true of one who lives eternally. Now, look at verse 35. And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. And here you have that great mystery of what happened. That is the Son of God entering into the womb of the Virgin Mary by the instrumentality of the Holy Ghost. What a scene that was, men and women. What a truth. He came for our salvation. We're going to ask now Mr. David Sluman if he would come to read the next portion of God's word to us. Mary, having received this news, she went to visit her cousin Elizabeth, and then by inspiration, she sang this great song that David is, you could sing if you want to, but it might be better to read it together. So Luke chapter 1 and the verse 46 on.
Just like to wish everybody a very blessed and happy Christmas. Let's resolve to keep our Lord Jesus at the centre of our celebrations, for our world has never needed him more. So breaking in the Lord's word at verse 46. And Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Saviour. For he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. He hath showed strength with his arm. He hath scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats, and exalted them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent empty away. He hath holpen his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy. And he spake of our fathers to Abraham and to his seed forever. And Mary abode with her about 3 months and returned to her own house.
Thank you, Mr. Sluman. And again, what a scene this was. She went to spend some time with her cousin Elizabeth, who also was great with child. She would give birth to John the Baptist, the forerunner of Jesus Christ. So here you have, as all the prophecies have been saying, a virgin shall be with child of the Holy Ghost, and it would be God with us, which is exactly what the angel announced to Mary. And when she met Elizabeth, the Holy Ghost moved Mary again to sing this wonderful song. Go again with me to verse 46 and look what Mary said. And Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord. She is going to make great her God. She would declare her God. She's announcing what she's about to do. And by the way, she says, my soul shall magnify the Lord. This wasn't put on. This wasn't some outward act of religiosity. Her soul, her desire, her real being, she loved the Lord and she would make him great. Verse 47, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Saviour. Now I can't pass by that verse this morning. Can you say what Mary said? She is referring to the babe, the wee embryo in her womb. That this is the one that brings me joy. This is the one who is my Savior. And today, can you honestly say that? Does Jesus Christ bring you joy? Oh, we sing it this time of year. Your Christmas cards say it. You might even have it somewhere in your house. But is it true? Mary rejoiced. Rejoiced in her Savior. And look what she could say. That she rejoiced in God my Savior.
She knew this was the one who would pay for my sin. This is the one that we've been waiting for from Genesis 3:15. And I rejoice that he has blessed me and coming to be my Savior. What a great truth, men and women. Go to verse 49. She describes him here in verse 49 as being mighty. For he that is mighty. Mighty. That's the same word we use for dynamite. Dynamos. He that is dynamos. He that is explosive in his power. He that is untainable. He that is powerful. That's the idea here. For he that is the dynamos, the mighty, hath done. Pause there. He hath done. He's done something. You see, sometimes people can be mighty. Sometimes people can be powerful, influential, but they don't actually do anything. But God here exercises might, his power. He intervenes in humanity, and by his strength he comes to give life. Read on in verse 49. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things. And every believer can say that today. Christ has done great things for me. Think about creation. Made this world. Think about his provision. How he's made everything that we need. How he came to be the author of our salvation. He's our Savior. One day he will bring us to glorification. What great things. That is a verse to pin up on your wall somewhere. For he that is mighty hath done great things. Look at verse 50. And his mercy is on them that fear him. The idea of fear there, it means to reverence, it means to recognize, it means to respect, it means to revere the one who is God in flesh, our Savior. Please take your hymn books again. And this time, turn with me to the paraphrase 36. Here you have Mary's song put to verse. And let's sing her song together. So the paraphrase 36, you'll find it on the page 157. 157. Once we find the place, get an introduction, we'll stand together to sing.
Yeah.
The Son of God is promised. The person who would deal with our problem of sin is God. He has come. Embryo, the womb of this young woman, Mary. In her womb, she knew that something was happening. Her body would be different. Her emotions different. Everything has changed. Something strange is happening within her womb that she never felt before. And so she went, having heard this great announcement, she went to spend some time with Elizabeth. Now, follow me through just for a moment here. She was in Galilee, Nazareth. Go to Luke 1, verse 26. At the very end of Luke 1, 26, it says, Gabriel was sent from God onto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, a portion that her brother Samson read a moment ago. But the angel came to Nazareth. And then she left Nazareth. Go to verse 39. And Mary arose in those days. Doesn't give the idea of a lengthy time. It seemed to be a very short space of time, perhaps immediately. And Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste. See that? There's no hanging around. The announcement came, and with haste, she goes to Elizabeth into a city called Judah. And look how long she was there for. Go to verse 56. And Mary abode with her about 3 months and returned to her own house. Now Elizabeth's full time came that she should be delivered. So what that means is Mary was there for Elizabeth's last 3 months. Elizabeth, her cousin, was great with child. Mary came. You would read it in the chapter, if you read through the whole chapter. Mary came to Elizabeth exactly when Elizabeth was 6 months pregnant. She remained there for 3 months. And just before the birth, Mary left to go back home. That was a special time for Elizabeth and her husband, who would bring their firstborn son, a wee boy who would be called John. And that was a miraculous time as well. But hang on a minute here. Is there not somebody missing? We're now 3 months after the pregnancy. We read about Mary. We read about Elizabeth. Now we're going to ask Micah Brown to come and to read a portion from Matthew chapter 1. And now we'll read about Joseph. Matthew 1. Commencing at the verse 18.
Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when, as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph before they came together, she was found with child of Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary, thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord was bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and his name was called Jesus.
Joseph, we are told here in verse 18. Look with me carefully. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was in this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, that means there was an engagement. Although in these days it was more than an engagement. Today, an engagement can be broke off, and the two go their own ways. But in these days, when you entered into that engagement period, it was a contract of marriage. And so it wasn't a matter of rights. Mary, you've blown it. You've been a traitor to me. I'm calling this off. I'm moving on. You move on. You go and get somebody else and I'll get somebody else. That's not how this worked. It was a contract between two people already made. Understand that now? And that's why Joseph was in such a dilemma. He's entered into this contractual relationship with Mary. And look at verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was in this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. We can't be overly dogmatic, but certainly that reading would lend itself to suggest that when Joseph saw her, he found her with child. It was clear. Her physical form was evident that when he laid eyes on her, you've got a child. What a blow that would have been, this young man. Joseph is such a godly character in Scripture. Genuinely a remarkable, remarkable man. Joseph the dreamer. Not interpreting dreams, but having dreams. And of course, we read here in verse 19, then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. And what that means is he was going to say to her, right, you have betrayed our relationship. I'll look after you. Will he put you away privately? I'll care for your needs. There will be a house for you to live in. There will be food, provender. I will see that you are sufficiently catered for, but that's where the relationship would stop. They wouldn't move into the full experience of marriage. That's what Joseph is thinking in his mind to do. I'm not going to make a big example of her. I'm not going to go and put her before the governing body. I'm not going to go to the gate of the city and have her judged and condemned. I'm not going to go through all of that. If Mary's made a mistake, she was a fool for doing it. But we'll deal with it privately and quietly. Verse 19. Then this young man, Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, and I love that phrase, he thought about it, he meditated over it, he's examining, the man's praying. What do I do? And at that moment, the Lord, an angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream and giving him instruction on what he should do. So then, the announcement came in verse 21, as has been read, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. For he is not a mistake. He's not an error on Mary's part. No, because he is Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sins. And who was this babe? Verse 23 makes it very clear. We read the prophecy a minute ago in the book of Isaiah. Let's read it again. Verse 23. Behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. And Joseph understood that. He was a wise, godly man. He would have known Scripture. Everyone would have known that prophecy that a virgin will have a child and it'll be God with them. And the angel now comes and says, Joseph, in your wife is that babe. She hasn't cheated, but I've used her to fulfill prophecy. And what a thrill that must have been to Joseph to have such a privilege of being the one, that father figure, for the one who came into the world to save his people from their sins. So, the babe is conceived, and would now, soon, 6 months later, be born. We're going to ask now my brother, Mr. Paddy Mackay, Edward Mackay, to come down to read the next reading for us, which is found in the Gospel of Luke.
Our reading is from Luke chapter 2, verses 1 to 7. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, unto Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Thank you.
Brother,
the hymn 78 captures what we are reading now very well. The hymn 78, you'll find on the page 207. Let's stand to sing this hymn together. The man who wrote this, Philip Brooks, just to say in passing, was in Bethlehem for Christmas. He went over to spend Christmas there. And while he was in Bethlehem, he was greatly impressioned upon by the circumstance, the silence. And he came home, and eventually, sometime later, he put those impressions to note. And this is the hymn that Philip Brooks wrote. O little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie. Above thy deep and dreamless sleep, the silent stars go by. And how true that was, how quietly everything was happening around the birth of Christ. Yet, verse 2 we read, that while mortals were sleeping, Jesus Christ was born. The hymn 78, let's stand to sing. So that 6 month period passed. It was 3 months with Elizabeth, and then 6 months with her dear husband Joseph, who who tenderly stood with his wife, and because of the circumstances in that day, they had to leave their home there in Nazareth and make the difficult journey right over to Bethlehem. Read with me in verse 4. And Joseph also went up, this is Luke 2:4, and Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth unto Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David. Is that important? What did we read a moment ago? That the Messiah, the seed of the woman, would come from the family tree of Jesse, of David. Both Mary and Joseph were both from David's family tree. This is fulfilling everything that every prophecy in the whole Old Testament has proclaimed. And men and women, this is phenomenal. What you have is a chunk of the Bible, the Old Testament, and every prophecy is being fulfilled as we read here this morning. This is him. The one who would bruise the head of the serpent, who deceived Eve, the one who brought the woman to sin, the one who brought sin in, the one who brought the curse upon humanity. Here comes the Savior, and he would deal with the serpent, and he would provide salvation so that fallen men and women like us all, like all of humanity, could find a way whereby we could have peace again with God through the blood sacrifice. Through a substitute, through the seed of the woman who would come to bear the penalty of your sin. Take it personally. He came to be the bearer of your sin. But look with me at verse 7. Remember who this is. This is God in flesh. This is God the Son prophesied in the Old Testament, who left the ivory palaces above, ere he left the blue skies above, to come into the womb of the Virgin Mary to be born. Now read it, verse 7 again, and it says, and she brought forth her firstborn son. Seed of the woman, the man-child, the virgin, brought forth the son. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room. No room for them. The inn. Stuck in a wee manger. Dirty. Old. Unpleasant. And the Creator, whom we have sinned against, the one that we have offended with our sin, or cursing, or swearing, or thieving, or robbing, or hating, or immorality, or idolatry. The one that we have offended in 1,000,000,000 different ways has come to pay the punishment for our sins. He's the one that we've sinned against, but the judge got off the judgment seat, off the judgment bar. He came down into the victim's part of the court, and he said, lay on me the punishment of these lawbreakers. I'll take it. And yet there was no room. Nobody cared. Knew the prophecy. The people in Bethlehem knew the prophecy. A child would come. He'd be born in Bethlehem, but nobody was waiting. Nobody was looking. And so they found no room for them in the end. No room for the Creator. No room for the Messiah. No room for the promised Savior of the world. And you might think, that sounds terrible this morning. Yet maybe you're doing the exact same thing. No room in your heart. No room in your life. You're not watching for Him. You haven't been waiting for Him. Your life's too busy. You've stuff to do. You've priorities to take care of. Like everybody else in Bethlehem. Missed him. Don't miss the Savior this morning. We went from Genesis to the New Testament. There is no denying. This is the promised seed of the woman. This is the only Savior. He has come to die because he loves you. And that's why he has arrived in the manger. That's why he's in Bethlehem. And that's why it's a thrill to the believer's soul. God has made good in his word. He sent the seed of the woman to be our Savior. And we're thrilled because it's already happened. And we celebrate that. But be like Mary as we close here, who was rejoicing in God, her Savior. Don't leave the house of God. Don't leave this day and enter into another day tomorrow without bowing before this babe and making him your Savior. He's the hope. He's the deliverer. He's the one who can bring us out of our sin into heaven. It is by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ our sins are forgiven. Let's close this morning by turning to our final hymn, the hymn 85. Thank you to everyone who read this morning, and for those who will read tonight, look forward to hearing the word with you. Hymn 85, Thou didst leave thy throne and thy kingly crown when thou camest to earth for me, but in Bethlehem's home was there found no room for thy holy nativity. Oh, come to my heart, Lord Jesus. There is room. There is room in my heart for thee. We'll sing the first two and the last two. 1 and 2, 4 and 5. And our God, from Genesis to Luke, and later on tonight we'll see the other part. But Lord, from Genesis to Luke, we see the marvelous plan of redemption, the great plan of God, from our fall to our redemption, from our sin to, Lord, thy Savior and our Savior. We bless thee, O Lord, for such a one who was born in Bethlehem to the virgin of the seed of David. Praise God for what you've done for us. Lord, may everyone here have room. Oh Lord, it is undeniably in our best interest to make room for thee. Oh Lord, our life might be busy, but if there's no room for Christ, oh Lord, what a desperate state to be in. Oh Lord, may everyone here today make room for the Lord. May they receive thee, and may they, like Mary, not hypocritically, not put on a show, but genuinely today,
like never before, rejoice in God, who is their Savior. Bless, Lord, the meeting today. Help those who read, and as we sing again tonight, do us good. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Thank you for coming. And we will do part two, God willing, this evening. Amen.